Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 27th, 50th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Hey, lady.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Oh, you don't talk that way to me.
Okay.
This afternoon we got
Good afternoon, Brian.
Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to kiss up now. It's too late. This afternoon we got a couple different things to kick around. There will be a... the meeting of sorts tomorrow night, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, a little bit of discussion about public records, who does, what is, how come, why not, all that kind of stuff. And then also we'll have some discussion about, well, some of the at-large positions, nominations, committee assignments, however you want to call it, that are sometimes they're contentious, sometimes they're not contentious. And in light of what happened yesterday, we'll talk a little bit about not the specifics, but about the processes, whether it's a planning commission or whether it's something one of the second or the third tier positions. You know, the process is the same, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from... Nietzsche, okay, sometime between 1844 and 1900 said, quote, the rich are the scum of the earth in every country. Oh, my. So here we are, huh? End of February. I don't know, to be excited or be depressed.
I think you should be excited.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Baseball season is coming up.
Baseball season, a new day. Things are working forward in the county. I think we've got a lot to look forward to, and I'm pretty excited.
So you're going
to
tee it up and tease this budget thing. New things, looking forward, bright new day, blah, 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 blah. One of the things, Estelle, I think that is more challenging than most would ever admit to, so I'm going to ask you to, is to get people from the community to show up to a public hearing, a governmental public hearing, tough enough to get parents to show up to parent-teacher conferences oftentimes, and that's their kid. How much more exciting could it be to show up to a county budget hearing meeting knowing that there's poundage of documentation and that the others who show up probably have a very vested point of view? Why bother?
Well, I think the reason you bother is because if you don't, anything can happen and you have no say in it. You've got to have a say in it. It's like voting or anything else. If you can't complain if you didn't vote. You can't complain if you weren't part of the process. Now, obviously, budget hearings are not exactly high on the celebrity list, if you will, but...
Is there free food?
There might be.
Well, okay, you just came up a couple notches on that one.
Okay, good.
All right.
Now,
okay.
Let me tell you something else about tomorrow's budget hearings. I think this is really the most exciting part of it. It's actually a simulcast, all at the same time. Hoopa High School, Southern Humboldt School District Office, Ferndale High School, Humboldt County Office of Education on Myrtle Avenue right there, and Blue Lake Elementary. everybody, each supervisor is going to be at their respective school, and people are going to come in. They're going to get a presentation from the CAO on the 2013-2014 budget. He's already nodding off. And and what you'll get to do as a member of the community is say that even though we know we won't have a huge amount of extra money, how we would like the discretionary fund spent. So let's say a couple of years ago, it became very clear from the community meetings that public safety was a priority. That's so with that in mind, when decisions were being made with some kind of discretion in the funding, that came to the fore. So that's what it's about, is what's more important, the roads, public safety, helping.
You know, like I know, Estelle, with public meetings that you've been involved with as an elected, and those mm-hmm. that you've been at as a news babe, and those that you were there as a rabble rouser for. It's the vested interest. It's the extremes that show up. Regular guy and gal, we don't, you know, we're from 6 to 8 o'clock on Thursday. We are making dinner, making sure the kids are doing their homework. Mm-hmm. You know, is the laundry laid out for tomorrow? Maybe decompressing from work because we just got home a couple minutes ago. That's regular guy yeah. or gal. So when we talk about these types of meetings, even though it's at a convenient time for the employed, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to show up in droves. I would like to think, and this is, I guess, undercutting it a little bit. If I had a concern, I'd call up Virginia or Ryan or you or Mark or Rexy, say, hey.
Well, that's what most people do.
And that would be your feedback, mm-hmm. whether it's on the phone, an email, seeing the grocery store, that kind of stuff. And you would have a pretty darn good sense of what's going on. Is this a more effective way? Is this a more efficient way? Or is this just a different way?
It's a different way, and it kind of fulfills the mandate of serving all the people. I mean, just think about it. People in Southern Humboldt or people in Blue Lake or people up in Hoopa, it's a much bigger drive for them than it is for you to get over, let's say, if the meeting were at the county
board. Right. No, I'm just saying I'd call you direct.
Oh, well, yeah.
Say, hey, hi, Estelle. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Spend 5 minutes. And then move on.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the CAO is going to put that budget together before us. And as you're right, it's a big, big, big tome of very dense material. He will be informed before he puts that together what the community as a whole wants.
So and this
he
is will a be pre-budget meeting.
Exactly. So he will be required to account for that when he presents it to us in June. So that'll be kind of interesting.
That would be accountable to you, not to me, right?
No, no, you're right, to me.
Yeah, that's what counts on it.
Well, I mean, to me
it's still tough to try to get Phil out here. KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time is 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the budget hearing process is something I know that's very laborious. It's drawn out. You guys will get the pre-budget based on the January or midterm revise. And okay. And then we've got the governor smoking his peace pipe, trying to figure out, and I still don't see how he sees the economy rebounding back strongly, but that's cooked into the book too. When you're trying to budget this, what are some of those question marks that you've got. Best case scenario, you have full knowledge of your constituents still that are going to be big question marks as you're looking at this budget.
Well, it's this, you know, everybody is saying everything's going to be fine. The governor is saying everything's going to be fine. The president's saying everything's, well, he's maybe not saying that, but he's saying Obamacare is going to solve everything. But bottom line is, when you get down to the county level, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the programs are implemented.
If the road is got asphalt.
Exactly. Or the pothole. And I think that, generally speaking, what we have to deal with is how do we work with those funds, those mandates, et cetera. And yes, looming now for us is realignment, phase two.
Because one went so well.
Yeah, right. And then and the Affordable Care Act. And those are really big, big deals. I mean, there are some high-level meetings happening both in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento as we speak, with people trying to tease out just what it means to have such a big, big change happen. Now, I was in Sacramento at a supervisors institute, and I'm sorry I don't remember her name, but the woman who was involved in the 1991 realignment was brought back.
It wouldn't matter much to us.
Yeah, right, okay. But so she was brought back by the governor to do this realignment. And she was, all the supervisors were there, were quite happy to throw darts. And one of the things that I brought up was the public safety realignment, AB 109, and what that's doing in terms of us experiencing higher property crime rates, et cetera, recidivism. And she said, well, overall, the big picture doesn't show an increase in crime.
Well, you get 50,000 feet up off the earth, and it looks
right.
Pretty good, too. Big deal. I mean, life
the
is in the granular.
Here. Yes.
Not
yes.
That far away. And overall, where is it? Other than Sacramento, in the budget halls, mm-hmm. Where is it working out, ma'am?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what most people were asking. And she said, well, we've got to look at the big picture and that this is a major shift in how we deal with crime and whether or not people should be imprisoned for crime or they should be helped to, change their ways.
Cite and release is a big difference in the program.
Yeah. It is. It's a huge. So we have to see.
This is the gal that they're predicating.
Is that they're doing
things
the same
being smooth with?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody walk out at that point?
No, everybody was sitting there waiting for a chance to yell something else. But I think that the bottom line is that this shows up the reality of what it is like to be in my position at a county level, because people in Sacramento, people in Washington, D.C. make these decisions, and we have to carry them out. And it's tough sometimes.
So what is the budget looking like at this point for the carrying out part of what the state and the feds are saying?
Well, right now, we'll probably be looking first of all, the midterm report is pretty good. There are a couple of things that I'm not happy with. And then the projections for the 2013-2014 are that we'll probably have to pretty much say status quo and we'll be okay. It further on down, the big mystery of what's going to happen in January 2014 and the Affordable Care Act begins to be implemented. That's going to be a big issue, and how are we going to handle it? And I don't have the figures right now. I don't think anybody does.
So in looking at the budget that Phil and staff will be developing,
mm-hmm.
How can they put together anything that might be even close to reality if they don't know the impact of what that program by itself, what that one program is going to do to one of the largest employers in the county of Humboldt?
Well, you just have to go with the with the information that you're getting down from on high, you know, what the projections are based on this particular formula or that particular formula.
Well, you know, I'm what they say the comes downhill.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think we've mentioned this before, but the Department of Health and Human Services is a huge department in Humboldt County. It accounts for over half of our budget. And one of the things that's happening with realignment is that even though, or not with realignment, with the Affordable Care Act and what comes down after that, is that there are it's supposed to make it that everybody will be insured, but that's not going to happen.
Devil in the details. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Good show so far? Okay, good. I got her biting her nails halfway through the show. That to me sounds like it's a pretty good show. What do you think? The concept, Estelle, of public records and access to public records, is it something that is well understood by the community?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. The community really does not feel good when information is kept from them. Let's put it that way. We have a lot of Public Records Act requests coming in to the county on a pretty regular basis. And actually, one just made a bit of news, which was a Public Record Act request regarding what's being spent on lawsuits, legal spending, specifically having to do with land use issues. What the county did when it got this Public Records Act request initially was they gave the, I wasn't here at that point, gave out the records.
You didn't have a vote at that time.
I didn't have
a,
yeah. No, I did not have a vote. Gave out just the records on lawsuits that had been settled or whatever had been resolved. They did not give out information on things that are in the works with the idea that that might somehow harm their case in one way or another, reveal something about their strategy was the idea. Well, what as it turns out,
I would think the only thing would be if they were dragging their feet and dragging out lawsuits, and that would be something. I don't think it would change the defendant plaintiff. I think what it would do is the community would become engaged and enraged of what was going on and how much time was being spent that could have been maybe more productively used elsewhere.
And see, this issue came up in Los Angeles as well, and the Los Angeles County had took the same stand as Humboldt County took, and it was appealed, and Los Angeles County lost, and then wanted it to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court turned it down, which means it is the law of the state at this point that we should give over those records. And in fact, County Council has said she will. So where that leaves us, how
soon?
That's going? Well, the next date for this particular back and forth is March 6th, but I believe that will happen before then, as I understand what she said.
Sometime before St. Patrick's Day. See,
yeah,
that
sometimes
one
before.
You.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. So,
are you a proponent of sharing this kind of information, things that normally would then qualify for the request? I would think. I call up and say, what's going on with the blah, 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 blah? Can you send me? You're going to probably go, yeah, okay, fine, and find it and do it. What falls under this umbrella of formality, legal formality, called public access or public information access that is just isn't sitting around that you could go in and ask for?
Well, you should be able to. That's the whole idea, that these are public funds. This is our tax dollars at work. Or not, and we should know how they're being used. And so we have a right as a public, I'm speaking now, to know how those monies are being used. So I think that everything, as you know, the budget, 500 pages, you are free to see every single line item. That is a public record. And so are how monies are spent on lawsuits, etc. All how public money is spent is a matter of public record, so, except for the Pentagon in some cases.
Okay, yeah, I get that one. But at the county level, I would bet that a majority of people in the community perceive that if they looked at, they took the time, they plowed through mm-hmm. the budget, they would see every dime
yep.
coming in and every dime going out.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that's not an accurate picture?
No, that is an accurate picture.
Because of some of these lawsuits that we don't know where they are, we don't know how much money has been spent.
Well,
other things that are there other things in that shady back room somewhere that don't quite make it onto the budget?
Well, generally speaking, you know, the money that's spent on lawsuits, etc., is not advertised per se. However, it is a matter of public record. Just as
and should be accounted for in the budget somewhere.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there is what it's done under a general departmental report.
Like legal fees?
That kind of thing. I have to tell you, I haven't seen the county council's budget item yet, so I don't know per se. But I do think that that generally speaking, any time public money is spent, the public has a right to know.
When you said the lawsuits costing the county, does this mean that item by item by item by item it's going to be listed, or lawsuits for the period of time from month X to month Y cost, boom, whatever the nutshell figure is?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what the request was about, but as I understand it, the request was for the money that was spent on lawsuits and on legal fees or whatever, and personnel that were involved with land use issues. That was
okay. So it kind of started to become a little segregated.
Yeah, right. So that's what they were asking for. But that doesn't say that you, if you want to know the money that was spent
Smith
on the
versus,
roads or the money that was spent yeah. on, you know, whatever, you could ask for that.
Because I could see where it would become such a pain. How much money was spent on Old Arcata Road in the period from X to Y?
Yeah.
What?
It's a matter of public record. Now, obviously, not everybody in the world wants to know or cares
and
about it.
And the time and the effort taken to retrieve
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yes.
See, I mean, there's a point of ridiculous, I would
there
think,
is
on the continuum.
There is, yeah. So, but the bottom line is, if the public wants to know, the public has a right to know, and that information is tabulated ad infinitum in the computers at the county, and you can find it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisorette Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different appointments that, you know, we will often focus on, what committees did you get appointed to? What are you going to be? Well, and then the other times, you know, we'll talk about appointments for some of the more high-profile positions. Okay, on some of the committees that are from your constituencies. Okay. And then we got all the committees nobody really wants to serve on, and there's always one or two seats open on those. Okay, fine. Rarely does it become contentious enough where anybody cares about the process. However, there are market opportunities for people to pay attention to that kind of stuff. What is the process that goes on for an at-large appointment for any of the committees that are made by the supervisors within the county?
Okay. Generally speaking, and I'm sure you're thinking about yesterday, but the bottom line here...
Well, I mean, the one I was on that kind of got a little excited at one point was Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Roger got excited, you know, with the HCOG. And
oh, yeah.
The
yeah,
rollover
yeah.
and what is and what isn't, traditional, non-traditional, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of committees
yeah.
and a lot of good people are serving on a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, one more good person wants to serve on it and we have battles
yeah.
and bloodlettings. So what is that process?
Well, here's the process. And on most of the higher profile ones that you mentioned, each supervisor gets to appoint one. And then there are one or two or three, you know, in this case, two at-large positions. Any year, any different term, things might be done one way or another. But the bottom line is those at-large positions are appointed by all five of the supervisors. So it's if you've got three votes, there you are. Sometimes it can be difficult if you've got a number of good people and you've got a way out, you know, well, do we all agree? And it becomes the supervisors working in front of the public on who they think, as at least a majority, should represent them on the board. And that's what makes it sometimes a bit difficult.
I would think, particularly as you don't have too many hand grenade lobbers in the crowd. I would tend to be one, but I'm not there, so that's okay. Say, well, what don't you like about? What is the problem you have with? And get pretty direct, because if it's somebody that I've gone through that vetting process personally with, made the phone call, sat down, talked to, got a sense, am I going to go to the mat for him? You betcha. Because I've got now vested interest in this individual because of the commitment that was made.
Yeah.
But if I don't have an appointment, I'm going to sit back and let everybody else do battle. Yeah, okay, I'll vote one way or the other at the end of the whole thing. How do you avoid the personalities of my guy, gal, versus your guy, gal?
You just sit there and, you know, plow your way through it. That's the way it's done. And hopefully, in the long run, you come out with the best candidate.
Or are you going to commiserate with them after the meeting?
Either way, I think that it's there for a reason. That's part of the process, and it's there for a reason.
The process was probably abused at one point. So then we got to do.
This is the whole Brown Act thing. This is the whole Brown Act thing.
Of course it is.
If you could sit in the back and just say, okay, well, let's all agree on this one. Can't do that. You got to do it in front of everybody.
Thanks for coming by. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more comedy. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.